I'm going to be reading this morning from Luke, starting at Luke chapter 22. But before we go there, I'd like to read Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This Good Friday, I want us to follow Jesus through the day of his crucifixion. I've asked several people to join me to read scripture, and we'll let the Bible speak for itself for the most part. Now, you got to remember that the Jewish day does not begin and end at midnight like our days do. The Jewish day begins with the onset of night at 6 p.m., followed by night, of course, and the next morning when the sky lightens up and daytime begins at 6 a.m. Night and morning begin with sunset and sunrise, respectively. The Bible says that in Genesis 1, verse 5, and there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Night and day are each divided into 12 hours. To make it easier for us, I have added times we are familiar with. The Bible doesn't actually give us the times of that day until Jesus is on the cross. We do know that the Last Supper was in the evening, according to Matthew 26, verse 20, and Gethsemane happened after that. The times we are giving are only for use as a reference. They're not necessarily accurate until we get to the crucifixion part. I want to start that day of Jesus' crucifixion sometime after what we call midnight with the events of Gethsemane. Luke 22, verses 39 to 45. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Right after this, Jesus is arrested. Luke 22, 47 to 53. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
At 2 a.m., and this is the first trial. This trial is against the law, and unauthorized, and held at the house of Annas, who was the ex-high priest of the Jews. This reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Do you answer the high priest that way? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
It is now 3 a.m. There is a second unofficial trial at Caiaphas' palace. Matthew 26, 57 to 67. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further do we need have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, He is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? And it is there that Jesus is betrayed by Peter in Matthew 26, 69 to 74. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out into the court, into the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were with them, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And so he went out and wept bitterly.
It is now 6 a.m. There is a third trial, and it is a short one. This is a formal, official trial before the Sanhedrin in their chamber. The Sanhedrin was a Jewish council of 71 ruling men. As high priest and chief religious authority in the land, Caiaphas served as the president of the Sanhedrin. Luke 22, verses 66 to 71 say, As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, Are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, You rightly say that I am. And they said, What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. At 6:30 a.m., there is a fourth trial, where Jesus has his first interrogation by Pilate, who is the governor of Judea. Luke 23, 1 to 7. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is a Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time.
At 7 a.m., there is a fifth trial before Herod Antipas. Herod was the governor of Galilee, and Herod put a robe on Jesus and mocked him. Reading now from Luke 23, 8 to 12. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. At 7:30 a.m., there is a sixth trial, where we read of the final judgment of Pilate. Pilate wants to let him go, but they demand crucifixion. Reading now from Luke 23:13-24. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent him back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were the more insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they had requested.
At 8 a.m., Jesus is scourged by the Roman soldiers in the Praetorium Court. He is scourged and a crown of thorns is placed on his head. Matthew 27:27-31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the Praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. At 9 a.m., Jesus is forced to carry his cross, and then he is crucified. Luke 23:26-32. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death.
About 9 a.m., the third hour, according to Matthew 15, verse 25, Jesus is crucified. Luke 23, 32 to 43. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who was hanging blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Also from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. About 3 p.m., we have the death of Jesus. Luke 23, verses 44 to 49. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Let's take a little time to look at what Jesus said while he hung on the cross, and see the amazing mercy and grace that he has given to us. Number one, Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The purpose of the cross was for our forgiveness, and it started as soon as the nails were set. Imagine that, Jesus asking for the forgiveness of those who were crucifying him. What amazing grace. Number two, Luke 23, 42 and 43. Luke 23, 42 and 43. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus wasn't even finished paying the penalty for our sins when he pardoned this criminal from his sins. No one is too far gone for Jesus to save. So let's continue to pray for the lost. Number three, John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. This is Jesus' example to us regarding the love and respect for our elders. Number four, Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" On the cross, Jesus took all of the sins of the whole world. God the Father, because he hates sin, turned his back on and forsook his only son, the sin bearer, and the world went black. Because Jesus bore all of our sins on that cross and paid the price for them, God the Father will never leave nor forsake us. All we have to do is repent and ask. Number five, Jesus, because he was also human, suffered in real pain and in great agony for us. As our substitute, and in the end, he said, "I thirst," John 19:28. Number six, Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus said this with the same confidence that we can have in our last hour. Into God's hands we can commit our spirits. And finally, number seven, John 19, verses 29 and 30. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. When Jesus said it was finished, it signified that he had paid the price for our salvation. We can go to heaven only because he has taken our punishment for us. Jesus paid the price for a debt, Jesus paid the price he did not owe for a debt we could not pay. The price of our sins is paid for. No more payment is required. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Acts 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.